I look back and it's been 20 years that we've worshiped together here. And they've been good years. And close to half of my ministry, when you really look at it, 58 years, it's close, that I've been here worshiping with you and your pastor, and then the last year or so as not your pastor, but just the fellowship that we've had together. And it's been wonderful. I look back and I found the first sermon that I preached here as your pastor was April the 3rd in 2005. And the subject was Wisdom from Above for Living Below. And the text was Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. And that's always been my goal and my purpose, I felt, was for all of us that we might have wisdom from above to know how to live here below. And I feel like that's what God wants from all of us. We have to have wisdom from Him in order to know how to live as He would have us to live. Since then, I have preached 810 sermons here. So, Wade, you got a long way to go. But I'm thankful that we can be here today, and it's a time, and it's a time of joy for the reason that we've come here to worship. And so much has been said when we've lighted the candles, which Mildred's not here to correct my spelling or my vocabulary. So, but anyway. But just the fact of all that we celebrate this time of year, hope, joy, love, and today in this fourth Sunday of Advent is the subject of love. And the text that I've chosen was already read, part of it was, in the scripture reading this morning. And my subject will be Love Came Down. And it'll be taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. 1 John 4, 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here we are, as this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we've been celebrating the birth of Christ, and there's so much to celebrate, so much to consider as we consider and think about the birth of our Savior. We've celebrated all month, and we've covered all of the different subjects and the ideas and the thoughts that we think of as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We have a lot of things to remember as we come to this fourth day of Advent, fourth week of Advent. We remember Joseph and Mary and their long, hard trek to Bethlehem. We remember the shepherds out in the field and the angels that came and gave the glorious news to them of the birth of the Savior. We remember then that baby in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. We remember the star in the sky that guided the Magi sometime later, and they came worshiping and presenting their gifts to the Savior. So Christmas is a wonderful story, but it is more than a story. So many people think it is just a story. Kathy and I were listening to Alistair Begg this morning as we were coming to church, and one of the statements he made is he just went over all of the things involved in the birth of Christ, in Christianity, everything about Christ and His sacrifice for our sin, and people will say, oh, that's just a made-up story. And his point was, how can anybody make up a story that precise for all to be fulfilled that is prophesied concerning him? But it is a story, but it's also history. And I think all of us as believers would have to say, this is our story. Because it is the story of the love of God and the fact that the love of God came down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this morning there are just three simple truths that I want us to glean from this text this morning that we've read on the subject that love came down at Christmas. Here's the three things we'll look at. First of all, love comes from God. Secondly, love came down to earth. And thirdly, love came down to the cross. So let's look at those three things. First of all, love comes from God. Verse 7 and 8 of our text, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So, did you ever wonder exactly where love comes from? A lot of people do. And so we might wonder, well, we see right here, for instance, you think of the love that a man has for his wife and a wife for her husband. You think about the love that parents have for their children. Where does that love come from? We think about the love that family members share together and good friends share together. And then here at Christmas time, there seems to be an extra measure of love that is seen all around us as we give gifts to other people, and especially as we give to those who are in need. Love is exhibited greatly. Now, most people agree that love is one of the most beautiful things in the world, but the question some have is, where does love come from? Well, the answer is given to us right here in this text. The answer is, love comes from God because God is love. There has never been a time that there was not God. Have you ever thought of that? There has never been a time that there was not God, and therefore there has never been a time that there was not love, because God is love. The Bible begins with these four words in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. Well, God is love, so therefore we could also say, in the beginning, love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We could also say, in the beginning, as the world was and the earth was spun into its orbit, we can say, in the beginning, God caused all of this creation, because love comes from God. So I think we can safely say that love has always existed, even before the beginning, before the creation of all things. Before this world was ever formed, there was love. We gather that especially from the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 4. Jesus said, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am." Now, you know, we focus on that a lot, don't we? Because that's the hope we have. That's one verse I suppose I have used in most every funeral that I've ever preached. And as I think of that, you know, Jesus' desire is that we might be with him, that we can be where he is. Why? "So that they may behold my glory, which you have given me." And then this final statement, "For you loved me before the foundation of the world." You love me before the creation of all things. So love has always existed. Well, who did God love? He loved the Son. You've loved me before the creation of this world. Love has always existed because God has always existed. And God is love. But you know, God looked forward in time, and he loved us, didn't he? He loved the Son, but he also loved us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Paul says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, how? In love. Having predestinated us to adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And so there was active love between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before creation, and there was an electing love when God chose us before the foundation, before the creation of this world. He adopted us to be His sons and His daughters. So where does love come from? Love comes from God because God is love. That's the first truth that we learn. The second truth in this text is that love came down to earth. Verse 9, he says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." God created us because He loves us and He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why He created Adam, so He could have a relationship with us on this earth. But what happened? After He created us, man rebelled against Him. You know, Adam rebelled. We're all rebellious. There's not a one of us here that can't say that we are not rebellious, because we all are. But man rebelled against Him. The Bible says that all have sinned, and in that sin we have broken the relationship that we were to have with God. Paul said in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But you know what? That didn't stop God, did it? He didn't just throw up His hands and say, "Forget it. It's all over." It didn't stop Him at all. Love began in heaven among the persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But love came down to earth in the form of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate on Christmas Day. God sent His one and only Son into the world. Why? In order that we might live with Him and that we might live for Him. I like the way the Nicene Creed, written in 325, states this fact. And I quote, "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of gods, light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man." That's a marvelous statement of faith and belief in Christ. We can read in John's Gospel, in the very first chapter, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. First of all, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And then verse 14, "And the Word," that is the Word that was with God and that was God, has always been with God, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so the miracle of Christmas is the fact that the holy baby in the manger was God in the flesh. God became a man. And He had to be a man in order to die for our sin. The Son of God became the Son of Man. That's why when you'll read in the Scriptures, in one Gospel, in places He's called the Son of God, others He's called the Son of Man. It's the same person, right? But He's called both because He's the Son of God and He became the Son of Man. So Jesus, who had lived with God the Father from all eternity, entered into our world and our on our earth on Christmas Day. That is what we celebrate as Christmas Day. Let's always remember, December the 21st was not a date when Jesus was born. Just remember that. That's the day we celebrate, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's the day exactly he was born. We need to always remember that. But what did he do? He left the thrones and the glory of heaven, and he came to earth as a tiny baby. And this is how God showed his love among us and his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And so therefore love began in heaven, and then love came down to earth at Christmas. And then the third truth that we learned from this text is that love came down to the cross. We know that that love is from God. That's our first truth. Love came down to earth. That's our second truth. And then this final truth in this text is that love came down to the cross. Look at verse 10 of our text. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I ought to ask my one member what propitiation is, but I won't do that. Well, and I'm going to explain what it is. God loves us so much that he not only sent his Son to the earth to live here with us and to teach us, but he also sent him to the cross of Calvary. That's the love of God for us. There he became the propitiation for our sins. So what is propitiation? A hard word to pronounce, first of all. But propitiation is the action of appeasing God. In other words, it is atonement. And especially and specifically that Jesus Christ, the atonement that Jesus made for us, for our sin, that we might live with him. So Jesus traveled a great distance to come to earth from heaven. He traveled an even greater distance when he went to the cross in order to die. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. He tells us, Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's a marvelous picture of our Lord. And that was God's plan all along. And that was God's plan and part, and that's part of the Christmas story and the Christmas message, isn't it? We need to remember Jesus was born to die. Not because he was human in the sense that we all are going to die. We know that. But in the sense that he was born to die, that he might die for others and that he might die for us. You remember when Mary became pregnant with Jesus, the angel spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. You remember that the name Jesus is the same name as Joseph in the Old Testament. And it literally means the Lord is salvation. And so the name Jesus actually means Savior. He is Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. And thus he appeased God for our sins, and he brought us into an everlasting relationship with God by his death on the cross. Jesus lived his entire life, and that was about 33 years, we estimate. He lived his entire life in the shadow of the cross. Can you imagine living all of your life knowing that the day was coming, that you're going to die on the cross? Can you imagine the number of times that Jesus went into Jerusalem? The day that he died on the cross, there were probably others, and the fact it says in history, as you read history later on, that the streets going into Jerusalem were literally lined with crosses with people being crucified. Can you imagine Jesus knowing that the day was coming, that he was going to die on the cross? This was God's plan all along for that to happen. So Jesus lived his entire life with the shadow of the cross always there with him. Love not only came down to earth at Christmas, but love came down to the cross to pay the price for our sins in order that we might be saved and be brought into an eternal relationship with God. As the angel said to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David," what? "A Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So that was the true gift of Christmas, wasn't it? Christ Jesus, the Savior. Not simply the gift of a son, but the marvelous gift of a Savior. And that's love. That is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. So love came down all the way. Love came down to the cross. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, and the Son so loved us that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. Now let's summarize everything here in closing this morning. Christmas is all about love. All about love. Where does love come from? It comes from God. The birth of Jesus was the ultimate expression of God's love to us as in humanity, in our humanity. He sent His Son not out of obligation, not out of duty, but it was because love compelled Him to send His Son, and His act in dying on the cross was an act to save us, but it was an act of love. So true love exists, and wherever it exists, there's sacrifice, isn't there? Think about those that you love. Think about the sacrifices that we make for one another. If we really love, we make those sacrifices, don't we? Think about those sacrifices. Well, God gave His Son as a sacrifice. Mary and Joseph gave up their plans and could be her reputation. Love always costs something. And Jesus didn't shy away from that. Because you'll notice throughout all of His ministry, Jesus ministered to those who despised and rejected Him. That's what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53. He ministered to those who despised and rejected Him. This kind of love forces us personally, individually, to ask ourselves the question, how do we treat people who don't love us back? Have you ever thought of it? How do we treat people who don't love us back? We do not have to die for our sins, or we don't have to die or live a sinless life, because that's impossible, isn't it? Totally impossible. Well, Jesus already did that, and He did what we could never, never do. But God gave us two clear commands here in the very next verses, verses 11 and 12 in this text, of what we need to do to demonstrate our love. And here's what He says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," how did He love us? He loved us by giving us His Son, and the Son loved us in order to, by dying for our sin. So He says, "Now, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." And so as we celebrate Christmas, Christmas gives us opportunities to show the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to love God, first of all, don't we? And then we also need to love others. Freely offer our time, our attention, our resources, our kindness to show the love of God unto others. Look for the opportunities that God gives you, but not just during this Christmas week. Look, we ought to be looking for the opportunities that God gives us every day of our lives to show the love of God and the love of Christ Jesus to others. So what is love? Love is what comes from God. Love came down to the earth, and love came down to the cross to die for our sin. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this season of the year in which we have been celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the joy that this brings. We thank You for the hope that we have. We have the hope of a Savior. We have the hope of eternity. We thank You for the marvelous blessings that are ours every day. And we thank You for the love that You have shown us, a love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, a love that You showed in giving Your Son and that Jesus showed in dying in our place. Oh Lord, may we express that love, Your love that is in our hearts. May we express that every day of life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say a couple of things before we sing the last hymn. I hope all of you know how dear you are to Kathy and to me, every one of you. You have been a blessing in our lives. And as I looked at the message today on love, I could just see your faces. John wrote this. He said, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And I have to say that we have. As I thought about the congregation, I thought about my years here with you. Some of you I baptized. Some of you I married. I dedicated children to the Lord while we were here. I've buried family members and friends. All of that is a part of ministry, wherever we are. And all of those events bring us closer together. I've seen you through sickness, and I just thank the Lord for the opportunities that we've had to be with you and to worship with you for these past 20 years. Now, on a lighter note for just a moment, when Brother Wade became our pastor, I told him the first Sunday that he officially was pastor that I was here to serve with him or for him, serve him. He's the pastor, not me. And I said, anything I can do to help you, I'm here to do it. And he said, well, there's just one person that I feel like I'm going to have a problem with. And we both looked at Ann, and we understood. So I told him that I would keep her, and I would be her pastor. And so, sometimes it's been a joy. No, I'm kidding. But as a final act, as her pastor, I want to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul wrote in the Romans. I looked up several scriptures, and I want to read these as, in just a moment as, in closing as my wish and desire for the church. But in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, there was a lady in the church at Rome. Her name was Phoebe, and Paul commended her to the church. So I want to paraphrase, I commend to you Anne, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Atlanta, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper to many, and of me also. So that's on a little, somehow lighter note. But then I want to read three other scriptures. Paul wrote in his closing in the letter of the 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. That is my encouragement to the church. The Hebrew writer in chapter 13 said, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then the last one is his letter to the, in second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You don't have any problem with that one. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever. Amen.